morning. Today is Monday, April the 10th, 101st day of the new year. Joining us this morning, even on a week, what? Oh, it's the 11th.
Time flies when you're having fun, but it is a Monday. I can tell.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. No, I wrote down the 10th even for the quote. Huh. Okay, 102nd day.
See,
yesterday,
I told you time flies.
Zoom.
Just in our moments, we've been here together.
Apparently, I got to avoid spending every day of the week out here. Our quote this morning comes from Henry Brome in 1828. Education makes a people easy to lead, but difficult to drive. Easy to govern, but impossible to enslave.
I think that's very fitting for all the activity we see going on with our various presidential elections and where we're headed as a country.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the international scene.
Well, the president does have a role in that capacity.
Well, true. Has there ever been, you know, like there are sister cities for American communities abroad, the equivalent of that for education?
Well, I would say that individual schools have certain relationships potentially with school international schools from time to time. I've heard of some of our local schools connecting via the internet. And interestingly enough, our Redwood education program, the one we do in partnership with state parks.
The one with the slug.
has been broadcast. With our virtual, you know, field trips to the Redwood Forest, to Japan, it's been broadcast to Britain. I think we even had one go all the way to Australia at one time to kind of reach out and educate people about what's here on the North Coast, Brian. So is
that something you push out, or they come and find? And then ask for permission or ask for the documents
to follow up. Actually, they hear about it through when they do a Google search on environmental education for K-12 education. You'd be surprised how much some of our programs here in Humboldt County come up. The County Office of Education has been very proud to be a sponsor of a variety of environmental education programs going back now 35, 40 years. We had, in fact, at one time, the only California State Board of Education approved curriculum for elementary education environmental ed. It was called the Green Box, and it literally was. And it was a project-based learning program for upper elementary students. And it was used widely throughout the state of California. And actually, we had a few districts outside the state actually purchase it as well. And, of course, we're still involved in environmental ed.
That would be the slug.
That would be the slug.
Does he have a name, or she, or it?
Well, it does, but unfortunately, I can't remember what it is.
He snuck up on you.
Yeah. Which is hard to do, but it can happen.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles. Gary, so what are you seeing? Is environmental education a trend? Is it something that only those school districts in rural areas are looking at? Is that a topic area? Are those topics for urban areas that really don't have much environmental around them so they can kind of bring their kids vicariously into the area?
Well, no, I think actually there's a much more awareness of environmental education issues here of the day, whether you're talking about climate change or you're talking about water, either the availability of it or the quality of that. You just have to look in the news to see it, and those kinds of things will just quickly be picked up in current events and discussions of the day in terms of education. No, environmental education, I think, is definitely much more embedded throughout the K-12 system today than ever before. It's interesting, we had our recognition program for our high academic achievers last week, what we call the Academic Achievement Team. And your question reminds me, as I was listening to the stories about these 21 sensational young people who had, GPAs, the average GPA was like 4.25, right? Because they had taken so many advanced placement courses or so many college courses, which gives you extra credit. And of course, they aced them. But what a tremendous group. But what came through was how so many of them are involved in math and science pursuits, and in the science areas, particularly in environmental education, environmental sciences of some nature. I think three or four of them were actually, that's one of the areas of particular interest that they have. Now, that may be reflective of the experience here, or just because we live in a tremendously rich environment here on the North Coast. In fact, I remember coming here, 37, 38 years ago now, and I came from the Bay Area. And I noticed as I was driving up 101 how the mountains got taller and the trees got taller and things got, and the hills got greener. And when I arrived here, I thought, what an extraordinary place. And it really is. And one of the things that I have found, because we've had to do a lot of recruiting out of the area to bring people in the last few years. In fact, we just sent a cadre of our school psychologists all the way to the National School Psychologist Convention in New Orleans to help recruit professionals to our area. And one of the selling points is this environment that we have. So I think it was very natural for the Humboldt County Office of Education to be very much involved, four decades ago in launching environmental education awareness. But today we sustain that because, again, we want to not only educate the students that we have here in Humboldt County about the wealth of the current environment here, whether it's our rivers or our forests or the oceans, but because of that virtual online partnership that we have in partnership with the state parks and our Quest programs, where we actually have nearly 20 different individual quests, explorations for children and families to go out in the forests or go out in the wetlands and to learn about their environment, and then they get a reward. They get one of these little patches that the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts wear, emblematic of their particular quest. We're trying to promote greater education and awareness. And you can imagine the kind of effect that we have when we present those programs to places like classrooms in Kern County or San Diego or the deserts of Imperial about, wow, you mean that tree is over 300 feet high? And yeah, it takes, 20 fourth graders to wrap their arms and to stand around the base of one of those redwoods. It's amazing.
So you don't also include the little note card that says, get out of Kern County?
Well, I'll tell you what. We do send them, it's interesting you should say that, because we do send them a packet of information about not only the trek the particular park that they're having the virtual tour on, but we give them information about the fish habitats and the other, things to do and see in Humboldt County. I've always believed that public education is a strong partner with economic development. And one of the things that I see that we can do here as educators is promote our environment for tourism, for people to come here. Absolutely.
You said Kern County, we kind of giggled her out in the desert. I would think that it would be easy to replicate this concept in any community. Have you had people... not knocking you off, because but trying to replicate in a different environmental setting, similar programs?
Actually, there are 7 or 8 of those ports programs now that where they do have one in the desert, down south, in San Diego area. There's one that has an ocean in the Monterey area. State Capitol, actually, is another parks virtual tour where kids actually are taken through the Capitol itself. Because a lot of people don't realize, but the state capitol is a state park. So it's part of the educational experience for kids that can't get all the way down and see the Capitol.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Superintendent of Schools, Gary Eagles. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Gary, some of the trends that you see in education, if environmental studies is one of those that are there now, are there other trends that are getting your attention also in addition to the, I guess, what used to be the basics?
Well, I think a lot of people don't realize how much today's education programs are now involved in mental health support services to children and to families. About 4 years ago, the state made a significant change in the way in which funding for mental health supports for students was provided. They used to provide money directly to mental health agencies and then had mental health agencies work with schools on helping students deal with mental health issues that were inhibiting their ability to access education. That's really how it
was. So it would be run through the welfare department or health and human
mental services. Health department, yeah. Right. Yeah. And it was a system that wasn't altogether the best system in the world. Education had a requirement to work with young people that had some issues and develop behavior plans, because that's where you see a lot of the issues happen in terms of the manifestation of the mental health things going on with young people. But there was a bit of a disconnect. The school system would see issues and identify problem issues, and then we'd have to go to mental health to seek funding, and then they would have their own issues and definitions. And mental health was, you know, has always been about the medical model for mental health, not an educational delivery system. And the merging the two was often very difficult. So the state decided to shift the funding and to adjust some of the requirements and send the money directly to education and say, okay, you take care of these things. But in the process, they got rid of some of the very clear definition about what was mental health related to education versus medical mental health issues related to other issues going on with the child and the family dynamics, where perhaps medication might be involved. You know, and educational supports in mental health involved intensive counseling, for example, either individual or small group, to help children adapt and adjust and to be able to access their education. Well, we got the funding. it streamlined that process so we don't have to necessarily talk to another agency about some of those requirements. But the demand for services has expanded, and the expectation for K-12 education in terms of the array of services to provide mental health supports has now expanded.
And that's driven by the state?
Yes, it was driven by a different kind of model where in some ways the state was trying to align itself more with the federal expectation for special education.
What's that?
Well, again, where defining children who need special education services now qualify for other health impaired, which includes now mental health services.
You guys are like a referral agency now?
No, we are.
Or you're the destination.
We're having to provide the services. So interestingly enough, what we're doing now, as we're uncovering, frankly, Brian, more issues that children have with mental health problems, we're sending kids out of the county. We're sending kids out of the state to other parts because we don't have a full range of services available here in Humboldt County, or in fact, in California in general.
So if I have a qualifying kid, it doesn't matter what the program is, and I live in, let's say, Fortuna, you then have to pick up and find placement for me in the best location?
Yes.
Even if it's out of the time zone?
Yes. We have school programs right now that are funding treatment center placements for students where the costs are as much as $250,000 a year. And we do receive some additional money to the Humboldt Del Norte SELPA, that's the special ed local planning area. But that additional money does not come anywhere near enough to provide that kind of support. So school districts are having to shoulder as much as 40-50% of that cost. and I can tell you when...
I'm just thinking college tuition. I'm sure this is multiples right. Beyond that.
And people say, well, how significant is it? And I can say, well, 4 years ago when mental health was receiving some monies to help support children, there were about 4 or 5 children per year that were being served in these regional treatment centers. We have 18 now. And so when you look at these costs of being anywhere from $150,000 to $250,000 a year, that's a sizable impact on Humboldt County schools. But it also, what's more critically important, other than the dollars, is the fact that this signals some very significant issues that we have going on in children and families' lives. Because I can tell you that the majority of these mental health issues have nothing to do with the fact that we don't have the right educational program for kids. It's just that we don't have the right supports at home and with the family. And you've got such an emergence of issues that are dealing with drugs and substance abuse and domestic violence and trauma in kids' lives.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:42. We'll be back with more from Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary Eagles. Gary, taking a look at all of the different challenges that are out there, whether they're government-imposed trends or changes, like with some of the folks and challenges that you were talking about in the last segment, or the environmental, how are you able to project 3 years, 5 years? How do you know what the future holds other than, you know, if somebody says, here's a great opportunity, you know, the funding isn't going to be quite enough to cover the challenge. And then you have to determine whether or not to accept that.
Well, that's a given. The funding never keeps up with the challenge, Brian. But, you know, after all the years I've been in this business, that's just just the order of the day. It is more difficult in many of the arenas that we are now in to predict what education, and in particular what the Humboldt County Office of Education, will look like 3, 4, 5 years from now. Because as what's referred to as an intermediate support agency, or as a regional support agency, you could call it, we look the way we do because of the needs of our 31 school districts and the charter schools that exist in our county. You know, we're relatively small in terms of student population. We have a little over 18,000 kids in the K-12 system. And we still have 31 school districts because we have a lot of isolated communities. And then we have a lot of territory to cover and a lot of needs out there. As I said, we're identifying a lot more individuals that have mental health needs, a lot more families in crisis. We do keep abreast of research and to see, okay, what are other areas doing that? Because in some degree, we can watch other areas and see some of the things that are coming up and say, hey, the wave is going to hit Humboldt County one of these days. We saw that with autism in the growth in that area. And so we got involved in early education efforts. We're doing the same thing now with mental health supports. We're heavily invested in partnership with the county and with First Five of Humboldt County to do early education mental health support services to children and families. We recognize the value of getting to families early on. But education cannot correct the ills that are going on in this community. And as a community, what we're going to have to do is increase the awareness. When you talk to the medical community, the gynecologists and the pediatricians, they will tell you the damage that's being done with our high drug use of families and adults in this community. In fact, there was a comment made to one of my staff members the other day about there are more children born that need to be detoxed here in this area than in San Francisco. We have to deal with that.
Raw numbers.
Raw numbers.
Maybe you need a week off.
No, I need more than 365 days a year to address the issues.
All right, now we're talking efficiencies. Next show. Thanks for coming by. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.